Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Hey, I want to welcome you out for a show that's for you and it's about you. Those of you guys that work so hard for your money and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now. Because why? Because you know that cash flow equals freedom, right? You want that. You're like, you need that in your life because you want to be able to do what you love with those you love whenever the heck you feel like it. But more than just that, beyond just having a life of financial prosperity, you want a life of freedom where you can create a ripple effect through the lives of others, because as you're blessed financially, you can do the same for others too. Guys, I'm so happy I can create that ripple effect for you. Thank you for binging and sharing and just making this awesome. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. Not only there's some great blogs on there, but you can even check out our YouTube page where we got the videos of these podcasts over at the Money Ripples of Chris Miles channel. So check that out. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cash Flow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cash Flow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, today, guys, I'm really, really excited because I got a guest that I've actually been wanting to have on the show for months, and I finally got her just for you guys, right? So Kathy Fetke, now some of you guys may already know her. Maybe you follow her already with her podcast that she's got. And we'll probably talk a little bit about that too. But just to let you know a bit about Kathy, she has this passion for researching and sharing the most important facts about real estate and economics. She's a frequent guest expert on things like on media like CNN, CNBC, Fox News, NPR, CBS Market Watch, and the Wall Street Journal. She's also the author of the number one bestseller, Retire Rich with Rentals. And like we said, she's the host of The Real Wealth Show, which is a featured podcast on iTunes with listeners in 133 different countries. You can get this, guys. She was also named one of Goldman Sachs' top 100 most intriguing entrepreneurs, not once, but twice, 2 years in a row. She received her bachelor's in broadcast communications from San Francisco State University, and she's worked in the newsroom of CNN, Fox, CTV, and ABC. And she's also been a past president of the American Women in Radio and Television. So, Kathy, I'm glad you made it here.
Thank you so much. I didn't know I was that hard to reach. Sorry.
Hey, you're amazing. So it's good. So, well, tell us just about what got you down this path. Because I mean, you went from communication, it sounds like, and then you ended up in real estate. Like what happened there?
Most of it totally by accident, just one step in front of the other, and really leading with my heart. And what that was a mission to understand how some people had the money thing figured out and were just creating passive income, and which creates more time to do fun things and spend it with the people you love. So to me, that's the greatest value. So going back to 2002, my husband had just come out with his book called Extreme Success. Mm. I was a very happy housewife with two little kids. We just bought our first house. He was traveling the country promoting this book, and also a business coach for lots of people, teaching them how to, live extreme success. Mm-hmm. And he noticed a freckle on his forehead. He came home from the book tour, went to check it out. Turns out it was melanoma. They did more tests. Wow. And yeah, he came home one day. I was cooking dinner on my brand new gorgeous granite counters and my two little adorable kids sitting next to me doing their homework while I was cooking dinner. And he walked in and looked like he'd seen a ghost. He had tears in his eyes. The doctor had told him they thought it metastasized to his liver, which at the time they didn't have what they have today in terms of cures, or at least medications. And he was told he had 3 months to live. Wow. So 3 to 6 months. Now the doctor's wrong. He is healthy today. And, but at the time I didn't know. So my perfect world came to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
I had been in the news business, but when I had, you know, two kids, I decided to not chase fires and murderers and be home with them. So I was a stay-at-home mom. I hadn't worked for a while. The world moved very quickly. So when you haven't been in the game, it's really hard to get back in. So I didn't know what to do, but I had this weekend radio show called The Edge. And I would just, it was just broadcast in San Francisco. It was kind of my leftovers from my broadcast career, and I made no money at it. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, you know, one day I just kind of went out in the garden and was like praying for guidance. And it just came to me like, well, just use my show, you know, use the talents that I already have. Don't try to create something new, and use the show to figure out how I can remain a stay-at-home mom, how I can provide the income so that Rich can take the time to get better. And not focus on death, focus on life. I refuse to believe the doctor. I'm like, nope, nobody puts a timeline on your life. You know, no, no one but God. So, So I was like, no, we refuse to believe this. We don't accept this. So I used the show. I totally, totally changed. I was more like a Oprah wannabe, just kind of like doing like personal growth stuff on it.
Yeah.
And I dramatically shifted to how do I make money? How do I make passive income? And it was unbelievable because I just started interviewing successful people and our audience just grew overnight. It was kind of an okay audience. But when I started talking about, you know, it turns out I wasn't the only person in the world who wanted to know how to make passive income. Mm-hmm. So the show took off. I ended up having a sponsor on it who I thought, okay, I need to make immediate money. So I brought in sponsors, and one was a mortgage broker. I don't know if you remember, but 2003, 2004, oh my gosh, mortgage brokers were killing it. They were making in California, they were making like $10,000 to $20,000 to $30,000 per loan.
Yeah.
Because they're $1 million loans. They were making 1 to 3 points. It was crazy.
Right.
So they were the sponsor. So I had a mortgage broker on and I thought, boy, this is the most boring topic. How do I give him business? Because I asked for a lot of money, a lot of high sponsorship fee. Yeah. So I thought, well, I'll just interview his clients. And it turns out his clients were using mortgages to buy investment property and flip and hold. And, you know, I was interviewing people that were retired by the age of 30.
Yeah.
So that's how I learned. That's how I got started.
Wow. That's interesting. And so you started going down that path yourself and applying the same things you've been hearing about then, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it started, you know, sometimes we need money before we can invest it, right? You got to have money to invest. And we blew through our savings. You know, the problem with ever getting sick, and that's why it's so important that people take care of themselves and eat right and exercise. So many people don't, but I'll tell you what, that's when my husband was a coach, he would say, making more money is not the solution. It's keeping it. So if you don't invest in your marriage, you're going to lose 50% right off the bat. And if you don't invest in your health, you're going to lose 100%. So
that's right.
You've got to invest in these things. Anyway, when I started talking about, you know, mortgages and working with a sponsor, we had people, phones ringing off the hook, because at the time anyone could get a loan. You know, that was the crazy mortgage crisis. Literally anyone could get a loan, and not just a primary, an investment property. You could get unlimited investor loans at no money down. It was crazy, crazy times. And so when people learned that on my show, our phones were ringing off the hook with people who wanted to buy property. So my sponsor said, I just made $30,000 today. Why don't you get your mortgage license and get your real estate license and take all these calls? Cause he's like, I can't handle it. This has been so successful. I can't handle all the business. So I did, I got my real estate. I expedited it. I got it like the next month and became a mortgage broker and continued to learn the power of leverage. And, and at that time I was just learning still. So, you know, I was like, wow, you know, you know, the power of leverage, basically, to buy a property and have someone pay off that loan for you is incredible and get all the tax benefits. So it was really that angle I was coming from.
And that was an infinite rate of return, right?
If literally back then, if it was no money down and the property went up 10, you know, at the time it was 10, 20, 30% per year.
Yeah.
That's an infinite return, right? Plus someone else paying the debt for you. It was insane.
Yeah.
But then I had Robert Kiyosaki because my show had gotten big and I had a big audience in San Francisco. So I was able to get big names. There were no podcasts back then. It was just radio. So I was able to get people like Robert Kiyosaki. So he came in around 2005 on the show. Maybe it was 2004. I think it was 2005. And he said, yeah, everything you're saying is great, but you got to get out now. He said, it was like 2004 was the year that values like doubled in California and Nevada and Florida. It was just like crazy. It just doubled. And he goes, that's great if you already got in. The problem is people think that that's going to happen again. So they're buying in 2005 and 2006, but it already happened. And people couldn't see that. They were like talking to their hairdresser saying, oh, you just bought a property in Florida and it doubled in value. I want to do that. Instead of thinking, oh, well, maybe it costs twice as much now. Or maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, but that's not how people think. They come in at the end when the prices are high. So Kiyosaki said, no. You sell in the bubble markets, which was California, you know, the sand states, Arizona, Nevada, California, Florida. He's like, he said, I've sold everything, all my holdings in California. I just made a ton of money. I'm not going to sit there and watch it go away. He said, I've sold everything in California and I 1031'd and I bought in Texas. Why Texas? He said, because that's where the Texas had completely. Now, listen, today everybody knows Texas is great. Back then, no one knew. You had to be able to read the future. Mm-hmm. Back then, Texas was the most boring place in the world. Prices had never gone up. Mm-hmm. It was, if you bought in Texas and owned a property for 30 years, you didn't make any money. Yeah. You know, maybe some cash flow, but values didn't go up. So people are like, what? But what he knew and what he taught me, and I was so lucky to learn this then, was that you can't look at what was, you've got to look what's coming and what, and the way you judge that for real estate, picking the right markets, location, right? Yeah. So picking the right location means knowing what's happening in that market over the next 2 to 3 to 5 to 10 years, what's coming, not what was. So he saw that jobs were being created in Texas because they had gone through the 80s SNL crisis and they were almost 100% dependent on oil and people got wiped out. So the count, you know, good people were elected who said, oh, we're not doing that again. We're going to have a diverse economy. We're not going to do crazy lending. Well, you know, they got wiped out by the SNL crisis. They're like, we're not doing that again. So they didn't allow crazy loans there during the time when you could get all kinds of loans you couldn't in Texas. You couldn't do those. You know, Hunter, it was very different there. And so he saw job growth that basically Texas made it so business friendly that employers wanted to pick up and move their headquarters there.
Yeah.
When that happens, people move, population growth, demand for real estate. Then people would say, yeah, that all sounds good, but prices never go up there and there's nothing but land. So prices will never go up. What they weren't seeing is you can't develop everything. And there isn't enough resources to develop everything. You have to get water in. You got to get utilities and electricity. You can't just build stuff overnight. It takes decades to build cities. So people missed the point that there's going to be all this in-migration and not enough housing to keep up. So we followed Kiyosaki. I literally jumped on a plane, went to Dallas. Rich, I came back with 5 houses because I could write the loans for myself, no money down. And we bought in this area where new freeways were coming in, the expansion was happening, A-class schools. We could get the 1% on rent, so pay around $120,000 to $140,000 in Rockwall, Texas, the cutest little town on a lake. So we bought 5. We went back a few months later, bought 5 more. We're like, this is cool. And then I talked about it on my show. And that's when our phones were now ringing off the hook with people saying, can you tell me who your realtor is? Tell me who your property manager is. Tell me how you did this. Can you get me a loan? And that's when our company was born. You know, Real Wealth Network was like, oh, there is a tremendous demand, not just for homes, but for referrals to good people you can depend on. And let me tell you, back then, property managers were awful. If you think they're good, not great today, you know, make it times 10 bad back then, because there was no regulation. There were no big companies. It was mom and pop brokers. Most of them were in the business of ripping off out-of-state investors. So it was the wild, wild west. It was hard. But we still did it, and we still had to go through terrible property managers to, and it worked out because now those properties in Rockwall have tripled in value. They never felt the downturn. all the people who listened to me and bought in that area, they never felt the recession.
Yeah.
Because those properties stayed rented. Even when people lost their homes, guess what? They wanted to live in a nice home. So they, instead of owning it, they rented the house next door. You know, maybe they lost their house, but they got the house next door.
That's right. They got your house.
Yeah. And they bought them so cheap. I mean, we bought them so cheap that, you know, if rents needed to go down, we could handle it, but they didn't, they went up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how we got started.
That's awesome. Well, and you know, you mentioned like Kiyosaki says, hey, you know, you got to look to see what's coming, right? Like what's next? What do you feel is next?
Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I give a lot of talks on that and I've been oddly correct for 15 years now. It's now become an art, you know, and I don't want to say it's me. It's just that to this day on the Real Well Show, I interview people who know more than me, you know, just like you. Yeah. I interview experts all the time, economists and old time investors. You know, 15 years ago when I started, I only listened to people that were old timers, 40 years in the business. Like I didn't want to talk to somebody new who just bought their first Florida condo and thought they were now an expert. You know, no, I want someone who's been through a downturn and knows what's coming. So what I do know is that the plan that we've had for 10 years is the same plan today. Nothing is changing in our company. Nothing. Yeah. Even with all this craziness, with a first time pandemic in my lifetime, to a, you know, election year that is just terrifying and the riots and all, everything that's going on today, we have not changed our plan. In fact, it's only accelerated the plan we had in place that was already good. We already knew the demographics were moving to the Southeast because of the affordability, because the jobs are going there, Texas, but it's also now gone to Georgia and Florida and the Carolinas. And we still like Ohio because it's cheap, but there's, you know, a lack of inventory. What happened is in 10 years ago, when the housing market collapsed, there was no reason, nobody in their right mind would build new housing when there was nothing but foreclosures everywhere. Yeah. So builders stopped building, they were wiped out. You know, so building didn't happen. And yet now we've got 20 million more people, 23 million more since then. Yeah. Our population continues to grow. It's moving to the Southeast and there's just simply not enough inventory. So everything we've been doing, which is buying these little cheap homes in these growing areas, you can literally today, I'm sorry if I get too excited about this, but I do. People come to me and say, I wish I started when you started. Well, you know what? We were buying houses between 120,000, 150,000 15 years ago in Texas. Right. You can do that today.
Yep.
You could still do that today, but the difference is the interest rates are lower. We were paying 6%, 7%, 8% even on investor loans. Today, you can get them for 3 or 4%. So not only can you get properties in growing markets today for the same price I paid 15 years ago, you're getting more cash flow because some of these areas have better, lower property taxes than Texas. So you're getting higher cash flow. I mean, it's an incredible time to be investing. And at a time when you've got all these baby boomers already planning to retire in those areas, now you've got all the millennials who can, you know, they're like, you know what, this whole thing about downtown living ain't so great. I think I'm going to raise my family somewhere else. And so you've got these two generations that are massive, the millennials and the baby boomers, moving to more affordable places. And they're moving, for the most part, into homes in the suburbs. I mean, this has been our business plan for forever. So nothing's changed. It's just accelerated. It's only getting better. Isn't that weird? Who would have thought?
I know. It's so true. Like when people ask me this question all the time as well, they're like, yeah, but where do you see it as safe? I'm like, real assets. And guess what? That's in real estate. You know, it's really there. And now's a better time than ever because, like you said, the low interest rates. Because I remember 2003, 2004 being a mortgage broker and dealing with like bragging about 6% interest rates, right? Like telling people it's only 6%. This is awesome, you know? And now we're half of that, you know, and just, it's just dirt cheap money. And that just inspires more growth, right? And that, again, that's profit. Even if the house values didn't go up, who cares if you have profit? It's predictable cash flow and you can't beat that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's nice when you get both cash flow.
Oh, and absolutely.
I like that better. So yeah, if you could overpay for property today, 100%. So you don't want to be stupid about it. You know, people are leaving. Yeah. California, man, prices are, It's kind of funny because, you know, there are prices going down in the city, but in the suburbs of California, it's mm-hmm. it's the same thing. Where I lived when I was in Northern California, that area, the San Francisco East Bay, it's, I don't want to say it's on fire because not the term we want to use these days, but it is in high demand.
That's true.
But it wouldn't make any sense to buy an investment property there. Never. No way.
I agree. I totally agree. And you got properties. The cool thing I love about you, so you offer like turnkey options. Like you've got connections. Just like you said, you built your own network of actual investors. And you mentioned this too. Inventory is low. Like this is the hard thing is that I've got lots of friends in different markets, right? But the mm-hmm. same, they're all saying the same thing. It's like, hey, we're having to build more now. We're having to try to do different things to create more inventory. And and it's not easy, but you're in multiple markets. So you've got like this whole collection of different pockets around the country, not just one city.
Yeah, we kind of learned that a while ago that California, you know, we lived in San Francisco, now we live near LA. Mm-hmm. Neither of those places are desirable, in my opinion, for rental property for so many reasons, just to start with the landlord laws where people think that your house is their right. So, and they shouldn't have to pay for it, whatever. So I won't own investment property in California. I love California. I probably never leave, but man, we got to deal with the politics here. Yeah. But I learned a long time ago for investment purposes to get into places that are respectful of landlords, that are respectful of business, pro business, and they see being a landlord as a business. So, if someone wants to live in their home, they have to pay to live there. And so we learned a long time ago that we had to depend on a team. You know, we can't be there. Mm-hmm. We cannot be there. So you have to treat it like a business. If you own the property next door, you're forced to go fix it. If someone calls you mm-hmm. can, so you will, but I can't go to Florida tonight and go fix something, which by the way, no one would want me to try to fix anything in their property because I would not do a good job, but I can't do it. So I have to rely on others. Yeah. We've had to find good property managers and they have gotten better. They have mm-hmm. better systems today. They have, online portals and many of them are now franchisees. Mm-hmm. So they can tap into a bigger organization to get the legal help they need and to stay mm-hmm. on top of the laws. So none of that existed when I started. Right. So it's much, much better to build your team. And so that's what we did. I'm obsessed with finding the next great market. And I really like mixing growth markets with cash flow. So I like, like we have a turnkey rental fund that investors, invested in, we manage it for them. We bought a bunch in Florida for the growth and cash flow is not as good. It's still mm-hmm. cash flow is better than California. But then we offset it with properties in Ohio and Detroit that cash flow much better. So, it's like an 8% return with the appreciation is going to be much, much higher, but the 8% cash flow on those because of the two markets. Mm-hmm. And now what we're finding is even the Ohio properties went up in value because there's not enough, there aren't builders clamoring to build in Cincinnati, so
that's right.
They were clamoring to build in Dallas and California, but not mm-hmm. in Ohio. So, but there's people there and they have a shortage of housing. So rents have gone up and home prices have gone up, which we didn't expect.
And how's your inventory right now?
We have created really great relationship with teams that set aside inventory for us. So we have more demand for it than is available, but they're keeping up. They're keeping
That's
up.
Great.
There's a wait list, but they do kind of set aside for us.
They give you top priority, right? They give you the best of the best where we get the rest of the table scraps. If we're
not sorry about that. No, I'm just kidding. No, they don't. Maybe.
Maybe a little bit. That's awesome. Well, and that's kind of the cool thing about your network is that you have those connections, you have those relationships and they have to answer to you too. I mean, if obviously they, don't do well for an investor, you're going to hear about it, right?
Well, we have 53,000 members and mm-hmm. we had more new members last month than in an entire year. Yeah. So if they want us to turn off the spigot, and not send them any more referrals, then they won't fix things. But, mm-hmm. we do have leverage to, if they're not taking care of our members, there's a lot of leverage there that they do the right thing, but also we pick people with high integrity. So they do the right thing anyway. And investors need to understand not to take advantage of these companies either. You know, real estate's real estate and there's expenses. Yeah. And things break and you got to fix them. It's not the property manager's fault. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody needs to play fair. And right. so we do our best to educate our investors that you need to set aside reserves for things that break because they will. It's there's moving parts. They break. Yeah. There's people living there. There's make ready costs. And so a lot of times we'll just kind of get in the middle and try to have everybody do the right thing. And they do. Yeah. If they don't, they're not on our referral list anymore.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. I love it. So if people want to learn more, like if they want to be able to have access to, you know, your relationships and things like that, how would they best go about doing that? And how would they best follow you guys?
Yeah, you just go to Real Wealth, real like real estate and wealth, like your money, realwealth.com. Mm-hmm. Sign up. It's free to join. Then it unlocks all this data on different markets and the stats in those markets, why we like certain areas and not just like Atlanta. Atlanta's a big city, but where in Atlanta? Which parts of it are we interested in? So that that data is free. And then you get a investment counselor you get to speak with to kind of go over what you're trying to do and get mm-hmm. feedback from them. That's all free. So realwealth.com. You join, you have to fill out a little, I don't know if you have to do it anymore. If you want to be involved in any of our syndications, our group projects, you have to fill out an investor form. Otherwise, you just need to click, say, you know, that you won't sue us for making stupid decisions. I'm telling you, I've had people who I said, we really like the Jacksonville market went before everyone else was there. Uh-huh. And so some guy who listened to my show went and bought a bunch of stuff in Jacksonville through the internet and they were terrible properties. And then he comes back and we're going to sue you because you said Jacksonville was a good market. I'm like, geez. Anyway, it's the way the world is, but,
like a good market can't make up for bad investors. Sorry.
Right. Exactly. Oh, you've got to invest in the right part, in the right street, right? It comes down to street level.
That's right. Awesome. Well, everybody check out realwealth.com. Check out, you know, Kathy's podcast as well. Like I've been on there too, and it's just a fantastic show. So that's the Real Wealth show. So just go along with Real Wealth. You know, guaranteed you're going to find Kathy. So Kathy, again, thank you so much for your time today. It's been awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And everybody else, again, it's not about just listening to this. It's actually about doing it, taking action. So go do, make sure you do your research too. But guys, go and make this happen for your life so it actually gets real results. Go and make a wonderful and prosperous week. And we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.